2 weeks ago, we looked at the relationship, strange relationship between Esau and Jacob, and what seemed to be a very strange declaration from God in Malachi chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, that the Lord said that he loved Jacob and hated Esau. And what made that a particularly strange, unusual statement, of course, was the fact that the early days of Jacob were anything but lovable. This guy was a crook. He demanded an incredible price from his brother, no less, for a bowl of soup. He lied, he deceived, he essentially stole the blessing that belonged to his brother. I mean, this guy was bad news. And yet, Esau was the victim of his brother's greed, and it was Jacob who was loved, and Esau who was hated. And if you're baffled by that, I encourage you to go back online. The message I gave 2 weeks ago responded to that and explained that. And if you missed that, we encourage you to go back to our website and catch that at some point. This morning, I want us to pick up the story of what happens next in Jacob's life. As you can imagine, Esau was not very impressed with his brother. He was not happy at all. In fact, he wanted to kill his brother. I don't recommend that, by the way. But when Rebekah, the mom, found out about this, found out that Esau intended to kill Jacob, Rebekah warned Jacob to flee. Genesis chapter 27, verses 43 and 44, she says, "Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides." And then we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 28, beginning at verse 10. "Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, 'I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will be spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples of earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you.' When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it.' He was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven.'" So here's Jacob. Picture it. He's on the run from his brother. And you know, when you're on the run, it's hard to relax. He knows he's guilty. He knows he's done wrong. He's probably watching over his shoulder to see if his brother sent any men out after him. He's got a long journey ahead, many days worth. But sooner or later, he has to stop for the night. Being on the run, he likely didn't have a lot of provisions with him. Apparently, he didn't have a nice pillow, so he used a stone to lay his head on to rest, to sleep. I'm not sure how easily he fell asleep that night. If he stirred quite a bit, if he thought about what he had done and maybe why he was running, But eventually he falls asleep. And in his sleep, he has a dream. And this is no normal dream. It's a dream through which God spoke to Jacob. One thing you learn quickly as you read through the Bible is that God likes to do things in a wide variety of ways. God speaks to people in different ways. You know, God spoke to Abraham through three angels whom he sent to lead Abraham out of Sodom. God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. Wasn't that dramatic? God spoke to Balaam through a donkey. How'd you like that? God spoke to David indirectly through the prophet Samuel. God spoke to Adam and Eve as they were walking in the garden. Clearly, God has a variety of ways to speak to people. And sometimes we want to hear from God. And we would love it if God would drop a note from heaven. Wouldn't that be great? It comes down, an envelope. There it is, lands at your feet. It says, Norayer Hadjian. And it tells you, Norayer, this is what I want you to do next. This is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to say. This is what I want you to do. Or it'd be great if God had an email account, right? You know, God, you've got mail. Send it to him. Or text message, you know. That's what you're doing with your phone in the pew. You're sending him a text message, is it? And no, I'm just kidding. Wouldn't it be great if you could send God a message like that, or if God responded to you with a booming voice out of the clouds, or in a dream, as he did to Jacob? But you know, God doesn't always speak in such a dramatic fashion. You might remember the story of Elijah after he had defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and then he was basically given a death warning that someone was after him to kill him, and he ran off and he was exhausted, and he needed a fresh revelation from God. He had been with God. He had, you know, God had blessed him, worked through him, responded to him time and time again. But at this time, he needed a fresh revelation. He needed an encounter with God in a special way. And there he was, and there was thunder and lightning. There was an earthquake. There was fire. And Elijah was listening to see if God was going to speak through any of these dramatic events that were unfolding before him. But that's not how God spoke to Elijah. It turns out that in the end, God spoke to Elijah through what was known as a gentle whisper. Gentle whisper. Friends, God does not always speak to us in powerful and dramatic ways. Oh, sometimes he does do that too, don't get me wrong. But oftentimes he speaks to us through a very gentle voice. The kind of voice that you will hear only if you are listening carefully. My physical hearing isn't all that good. It just isn't. And so if you're talking to me in a soft voice, I really need to listen carefully if I'm going to hear what you're saying. And even then, I might even miss what you're trying to get at. And sometimes, while we would love it if God would shout out his message to us, more often than not, God speaks to us through a gentle whisper that requires us to sit still and listen. And truthfully, those are two things that are very hard for us: to sit still and to listen. We're people of chaos, running spinning, moving, distracted by so many things. How do we even listen to God? How is God going to get through to us when we aren't stopping? Sometimes we say, God, speak to me, lead me, guide me. But we're not even listening. We're too busy running. Too many things happening in our lives. Too much chaos. Urgent. Good things even. Not bad things. Even good things can become a hindrance. And the more distracted we are, the more busy we are, the harder it is to hear what God has to say for us. And so, yes, God does speak today. He still speaks today. He does. I'm not sure if we often hear him, though. Oftentimes, God speaks to us directly through his word. This is a wonderful gift that God has given us. People have sacrificed their lives to be able to translate it in a language that we can read. God gives us his word right here. And if something is said to us, or if we think about something and it's contrary to God's word, then it's not from God. Okay? God's word is a light for our feet and a guide for our path. And if something, someone, or some idea, or some worldview, or whatever else is contrary to God's word, then that's not a voice to listen to, for it cannot be from God. God speaks to us through his word. Oftentimes, God also speaks to us through other people. Maybe a friend or a mentor. Maybe even through your pastor during a sermon. And of course, God speaks to us directly as well. And that's that gentle whisper that I spoke about earlier. We need to be people who listen. In Jacob's case, let's go back to Jacob. God chose to speak to him through a dream. And in his dream, Jacob sees a stairway going from heaven, from earth to heaven, and angels ascending and descending on it. But it wasn't just angels that Jacob saw in his dream. He also saw God himself. And the Lord God speaks to Jacob in his dream and makes a promise to Jacob that God will give him and his descendants the land on which he is lying, and that his descendants will be numerous, spread out in every direction, and that all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through him and his descendants. What an incredible promise. Now, it's not the first time we've heard that promise, because God made a very similar promise to Abraham. But what makes this promise so remarkable is the fact that God is making it to Jacob. Has God forgotten the type of person that Jacob was? In many ways, Jacob was no role model. He had no problem, again, taking advantage of his brother, bribing him essentially, lying, deceiving his father. Oh, and this was not just a momentary lapse in judgment, you know, when you're under pressure and you do something and I shouldn't have done that. This was a cold, calculated act of deception. Lying, deceiving his father, stealing from his brother. You might wonder why in the world God would make use of someone like Jacob. Like, what are you thinking, God? I wouldn't have done that. But I believe that exactly is the point. God used Jacob because Jacob was a mess. Think about it. In many ways, Jacob is a representative of all of us. Jacob had no claim whatsoever on God's mercy. He had nothing to bargain with. He did not deserve God's favor in any way, and yet God chose to speak to him, to forgive him, and to work through him. You know, sometimes when someone fails us, especially when they fail us miserably, we say to ourselves, or we say to others especially, that we're never going to speak to that person again. That we're never going to have anything to do with that person again. That's it. We've had it. They don't deserve another chance. And if that's how God responded to Jacob, you'd be hard-pressed to blame God. But that's not what God did. Instead of pulling away from Jacob, as we tend to do when someone hurts us, God came to Jacob and spoke to him in a dream. And the Thanksgiving message I want to share with you this morning is just that. That God is not in the business of giving up on people. Even when they've messed up. Even when they've messed up in a big way. He is in the business of redeeming people. God not only spoke to Jacob, it would seem that he forgave him and used him as a key figure in his plans. There's no mention of God holding Jacob's sins against him ever again. I'm reminded of what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 103, verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." And friends, this Thanksgiving Sunday, we need to be reminded that God's forgiveness of us is a wonderful thing that we need to be grateful for, because we are all recipients of it. We have all missed the mark. We've all been selfish in some way, like Jacob. We've all put ourselves first. We've all hurt someone else. And what I find wonderfully reassuring in the scripture this morning is that despite everything that Jacob was and did, God was still in a position to work in him and through him. And by extension, I would say that God is still wanting to work in and through his people today. Friends, that includes you. It really does. It includes me. I thank God for that. God's love reaches out to us, no matter where we've been in life. Think about that for a moment. God's love upon us is unconditional. He loves us. And because he loves us, he calls us to a new life. He doesn't say, "Stay where you are. Don't worry about it. You're only human. I understand. We all mess up. Just keep going." He loves us. He calls us. He embraces us. But then he works in us to change us, to make us a new creation, to fill us with his presence, his spirit, and to change our lives from the inside out. And so, yes, as in Jacob, God loves us, but he calls us and he moves us. Jacob's response to all of this, we'll go back to the scripture, carrying on in verse 18, Genesis chapter 28, verse 18. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." Jacob's response, remember, he's on the run from his brother, is essentially to fall down on his knees and to worship God. He builds a memorial. He anoints it with oil as a place to remember his gracious encounter with God, to remember that this is where God intersected my life. And he worships God there and then. And then he makes a vow to God that in response to everything that God has done for him and will be doing for him, Jacob not only wants to remember God's faithfulness, he is promising to be faithful himself, giving a tenth or a tithe of all that he acquires back to God. You might wonder why he would do that. Why would he say that? I mean, it hadn't even been law yet. Why would he give a tithe? It's for the same reason that Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek, the priest, as an act of worship to God. When we give, we are participating in an act of worship. I'll be honest with you. Electronic giving is easy, but I don't like it. To me, to put my offering in the offering plate as it's passed around, or if I bring it after the service even, is an act of worship. It's part of my worship of God. I don't worship money. I worship God, and it's part of our act of worshiping God. You can do that electronically too, I'm sure. But to me, in my almost 60-year-old mind, you know, getting a little old here, not old, just getting middle age, it just doesn't seem the same. You know, electronic stuff just doesn't seem the same. How many of you ever got a letter in the last week or two in the mail, a handwritten letter? Like, do people still do that? You know, there's something special about that, right? And anyway, all that to say, giving is personal, very personal, very special. And in response to everything that God had done for Jacob, Jacob worships God through building a memorial, through pledging a tithe. These were both acts of worship. And all that to say, Jacob's story is not much different from our own. God has been gracious to us in so many ways. This Thanksgiving Day, my prayer is that we would remember God's grace and mercy and forgiveness and his call upon our lives, no matter where we've been. And let me just quickly add that if you have not experienced God's grace and forgiveness in your life, if that is a foreign concept to you and you're saying, what in the world is Pastor Norman talking about? All I can say, friends, is that God invites us to come to him and to trust in him, to put our lives in his hands and ask for forgiveness. And he restores us. He makes us a new creation. Scripture says the old is gone. All things become new. And we become a new person. And we experience God's grace and forgiveness upon our lives when we call upon the Lord. So I encourage you to do that if you haven't already done so. And when you do, we respond as Jacob did, with worship and thanksgiving, with a heart ready to bow before the Lord in gratitude. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning and we recognize just how much, Lord, that we need to give you thanks for who you are, for what you have done and what you continue to do in our lives. And Father God, I thank you for your grace upon so many lives, really all of us. Not one of us deserved anything to be here. Not one of us deserved to be in your embrace. And yet you welcome us. You call us. Not only do you welcome us, you search out for us. And I pray, Father God, this morning that if there's anyone here or with us online who is needing to call up out to you, I pray that even now in their heart, they may just call out to you, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me that new creation that your word talks about. Receive me unto yourself. Father God, I pray that as we do that, or as we renew that vow to you, that call to you, I pray, Father God, that you would continue to hold us and embrace us. And even though we failed so many ways in the past, Lord, I pray that as you did for Jacob, that you would pick us up, shake us off, and use us, work in us and through us for your glory and for your kingdom's sake. And for all this, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.